For today's opening message, we may have a sermonette, or perhaps the beginning of a couple of split sermons. But for now, it's too soon to tell. Hailing from the great state of Kansas is a man who has made his parents into very happy grandparents. So, brethren, starting things off for us this morning is Andrew Carlson.
Hello, everybody. I assume that you can hear me and see me. I'm waiting for the text from my wife from downstairs to confirm as much. Just got it, so we are good to go. So, nice to see everybody digitally at least. Welcome and hello from the great state of Nebraska. So, all 8 children, 1 lucky wife, and as of this morning, 2 brand new lambs that were born. All say hello from Nebraska, and it was very cold, and it was very nice to have children to do the hard work for me. So as I age, I must say, it's been nice. The weather here, not quite as nice as it seems to be in Ripon, if I'm understanding Willie correctly, from the highs and the lows. But I will say that the winds of freedom are blowing here as opposed to California. So we'll take our rougher weather as we should. So one thing I have learned is when you make a mistake, you own it right up front. So what I will run towards is, I think it was Wednesday of this week, my father called me and said, "Hey, you ready for that split sermon?" To which I responded, "I know he's getting old. He's a little wore out. It's a sermonette, not a split sermon. So we'll just let him talk." I was gentle and loving as a son should be and said, "Dad, I think it's just a sermonette. You've got the sermon." He's like, "I'm pretty sure it's a split sermon." To which I said, "Sure, you're right, son. You're good. It's fine." Hung up, told him I loved him, went to go find the email so that I could forward it to him and prove that he was wrong. To which I found out I was up for a split sermon and had prepared for a sermonette. So with that, I admit my mistake and I defer to my father for hopefully the last time in my life at his age, but he has helped to bumper me on the back end of this one due to my ill preparation. So with that, I want to tip the cap to my failure and to my father once again, 42 years into my life, getting me out of my own mess. So thank you, sir. So the title of today's lengthened sermonette, but short split sermon is "Too Soon to Tell." Too soon to tell is the title of today's message. So the first kind of, what would I say, is example, what I'm going to try to lay out here, was the word Zhao Enlai. So Zhao Enlai was the premier of China, 1972. He was the premier of China, not necessarily a top-notch fella, but I thought there was some the framework of the mind and the way he answered a question that I thought was great. He was asked about the French Revolution. So there was 2 French revolutions, quote-unquote, in modern culture. There was the one from 1789 to 1799 that we would all know about, kind of from our history books, that didn't end too well for anybody involved. And then in 1968, much like the United States, there was a couple of rowdy college students who pretended to have a revolution at the same time. Well, when asked about what he thought of the outcome from the revolution that had taken place, referring to the one in 1968, but him thinking it was the one in 1789, Zhao Enlai responded with, "Too soon to tell." So literally 200 years after an event had taken place, he literally answered, "Too soon to tell," which I thought was a great moniker in our times where we think we need to have the answer to everything. We have to have it quickly. We have to know what's going on. We know what the outcome is going to be. And patience doesn't tend to be a virtue of our society. And bluntly, sure as heck doesn't tend to be a virtue of myself. So I thought there was a good lesson in there to speak to is too soon to tell, kind of laying back, understanding, and moving ourselves from just having knowledge to a state of wisdom by using time. So right now, if you notice this, I tend to call it the Google effect or something of that nature, but we must know everything. We must know it instantly, and we must have a very, what I would call almost sarcastic, cynical, or cutting take on it, that it sounds quippy, it sounds good, and if you can knock it out in 140 characters on Twitter, basically, you should either become the next spokesperson for the United States of America, or probably a senator. It's this cutting, there's no depth, but it's sharp, you know the answer, you're educated, and we've lost what real wisdom has been, because we don't take time to actually understand and put ourselves through the paces of understanding, whether world events, whether it's understanding in the Bible, whatever it may be, it's oftentimes too soon to tell for the answer we want to give in immediacy. We think we need to be witty and smugly intelligent, when really what we need to be is wise. Oh, I hear this all the time, prone to it myself, but you'll hear this in 2022, clock just turned over, but you'll hear this. Oh, without a doubt, there's no doubt about it. It'll be DeSantis in 2024. because of the race demographics in Southern Florida for people between the ages of 44 and 48. And you think, man, that person's smart. Usually those quippy, smug, intelligent statements actually come from idiots. It tends to be people that are more worried about looking right in front of other people than being wise and understanding the topic before them. To not know, and we tend to have this problem, and I have it at work with people I work with and myself, to not know is not a problem. To say, I don't know, but I can find out, is not a problem. To not know and to not care, that's where you have a problem. And in our spiritual lives, to not know and to need to go into depth and to read more and to understand, that's a good thing. To not care once you know you don't know, that is not a positive thing. So let me kind of overlay that over the message that I'm delivering, is to not know is quite fine, but to not know and not care is not a place that you want to be, whether it's on a personal life, whether it's in your biblical life, your spiritual life, that's not the place you want to be. So we have mistaken speed for intelligence and wisdom. A lot of that comes from the times we live in. Think about it. You've got more power in the palm of your hands and a phone than they had in the first spaceships that went up to the moon. Not an exaggeration. It's true. So we have mistaken speed for intelligence and wisdom, and it's not true. Life is a plow horse. It's a long marathon that we tend to work our ways through. It's not a quarter horse, but the world loves a quarter horse. Quick, sleek, fast, quippy. That's not the life we're in. This is a race. If you look into the Bible, right? It's run the good race. It's not a sprint. It's a race. It's a long term. It takes time. Proverbs speaks of how a man ages and his strength when he's young versus his strength when he's older, and the wisdom of gray hair. Remember that as we apply that to our lives. You may own the watch in life, but God owns the time. And we tend to forget that. You may own the watch. You are the watch to some extent, but God owns the time. Life is not a Hollywood script of a sitcom with one-liners and zingers that leads to fulfillment and understanding in your life. So what I said, if the Lord has the patience, and I'll use myself as an example, if the Lord has the patience to choose me, Andrew Carlson, and wait and wait and wait for me to be refined and to learn and to overcome my stupidity and my weaknesses, I would guess, I don't know for sure, but I would guess the Lord has the patience to wait for other things in this world that I would consider much bigger than myself to play out. Think about that. He has the time. He owns time. He owns the clock. But we believe, you know, we always think the world did not start the day you were born, and the world will not end the day that you die. It goes on. There's a length here. There's a plan that God is playing out, and it doesn't really pertain to the length of your life or your understanding. There's something larger here going on. If you would, go to 2 Peter 3. So 2 Peter 3, verse 8. 2 Peter 3, verse 8. And there is a, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but he would come to repentance. The Lord has time. 1,000 years is but a blink of an eye. Remember that. Keep the perspective of who you are and where we are and the times we live in. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to be the quickest, the smartest, as the world defines it. The Bible never really lays out the dashing individual that's highly intelligent as the kind of goal that we want to become. If you think about it, it's wisdom, right? It's those Abraham, as he got older, the wisdom that comes with time and learning and being subservient to God's word. Move over, if you would, to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 36. 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Only God knows. God knows the timing, but for some reason, we tend to have an opinion on what we think the timings of things may be, whether that's prophecy, whether it's what's going on in our nation, whether it's what's going on in the world. Stay with your nose in the Bible and give yourself the time and the understanding to learn. You don't have to be smart in front of other people. You need to be wise in understanding God's ways and why that's important. You don't need to guess. You don't need to guess. You don't need to make a hedge so that you look intelligent in front of the camera. I hate to say this, but I don't think anybody in our church is in front of the camera, so to speak. No one's running for office. No one is held in an extremely high esteem in this world. We don't have to be right. We have to be wise. We don't have to be right as the world defines it. As humans in this belief, in the belief that we know that God's opened our eyes, we tend to be more excited sometimes than knowledgeable, right? We can tend, especially when we first come to church, we can tend to have more excitement than we do knowledge. And that's a beautiful thing, right? If you watch someone come into the word and the understanding, that excitement is a beautiful thing. But we age through that. And then we turn that into knowledge and we understand this larger plan that the Lord has. As an example, I will go back to 2005. So a little insight, I don't think I've even shared this with my wife or my father or anything, but 2005. So Pope Benedict was appointed by the Catholic Church to become the Pope. I was of the ripe old age of 26. I think I had just come back into the church, not too much before that. The scales had fallen from my eyes to some degree at that point. And I knew that I knew. So I remember when they appointed him, tried to be a guy that reads a little bit of newspapers and reads around, try to stay as cultured as I can be. And I put together very quickly, right? I knew he was German. I knew he spoke German, French, Italian, and English. I knew that he was a conservative Catholic, as they would call it. I knew that there was connections that people had said he was part of in his youth, having been German, having been a part of the Hitler Youth, as they would call. And most importantly, I knew I was smart, smarter than the average guy. I knew all these things. There was no doubt that it was going to play out, that the Lord had allowed the hearts of men to put this individual as the Pope, and that quickly the unfolding of prophecy was going to take place in my lifetime. And I couldn't understand why everybody else couldn't see, A, what was going to happen, and B, how smart I was, because I knew all of these things and I could tell what was going to play out. Turns out the one thing I did know was nothing. He retired in 2013, so an Argentinian socialist could become Pope and take over. And I mean, I tell you, I was driving around in my truck. I can remember as clear as bell. I knew what was going to take place. Maybe I should just get in front and let everybody know where this is going. Use this wisdom. I knew nothing, nothing of the sort. And I would convince myself that I did. Remember that. It's very easy to convince yourself that your own ideas are right, or that your intelligence, they do those surveys and studies. Hey, the way you drive, tell me how you drive. Are you in the 80th percentile, the 50th percentile total ability to drive? If I remember correctly, it's like 76% of people put themselves in the top 20% of drivers. That goes to tell you, 76% of the people can't be in the top 20% of the drivers. And it's a little insight into the human mind, correct, that we quietly behind the scenes think we're a little smarter and a little bit quicker than everyone else around us. Usually, we're not. It was more important for me to be right than for me to be observant and to seek understanding. I can remember it clear as day. It was more important for me to be right than it was for me to be observant, to step back and basically say, too soon to tell where it was going to go. But I had convinced myself that I knew. If you would, go over to Proverbs 16 for me, Proverbs 16, 32. Proverbs 16, 32. There it says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So we usually use this proverb in the sense of anger, right? Anger control. But if you think about it, it's he who rules his spirit. Your spirit is many things, right? In this classification, it tends towards anger and reaction to things. But your spirit, your countenance, how you go about what we would call in today's parlance, your personality. He who rules his spirit is greater than he who takes a city. Can you rule your own spirit and keep that humility that says, it's too soon to tell. I need to have a little bit more understanding. Maybe I should read a little bit more. Maybe I should stick my nose back into the Bible and see if there's a different way to understand this. Or in our everyday lives, maybe it's a little too soon to judge that person or to tell them exactly what they should be doing in their life. Let me think about this. Let me try to put myself in their shoes and see if there's a different path there, or if I can wrap my mind around the way that they're thinking, where they're at. Think about that. If you would, go to Psalms 37, Psalms 37, verse 7. Psalms 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Sometimes that fret we think of as more worried, but I think sometimes we build ourselves into our own fretful nature, right? Worried about things transpiring in the world, concerns. As it says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord, in his word, in his understanding. We don't have to know. We don't have to be intelligent. We don't have to be smart as the world defines it. Know what true intelligence and real understanding and knowledge is. It's in this book. It's in the Bible. Take the time. It's not easy, but take the time to understand that and make sure what you're after, you're pursuing what the Lord thinks you should pursue and that we know we should pursue, not what the world lauds, not what the world brings up as a leader or what the world will give an award to, right, at the UN or something of that nature. Those things have an effect on us. We live in this culture. Remember, there's only one rule book. There's only one crowd that you really have to impress. And bluntly, they gave you the rule book. They allow you to have the understanding. He's allowed you to have the understanding. And really the only person you need to quote unquote impress, though the Lord's not impressed by men, is the Lord himself. Remember that. We tend to lose that in the everyday of our life, right? Trying to get a promotion at work or a job, whatever it may be, trying to impress a girl. Or remember, that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to impress those of this world. We're here to impress those who have made this world. Be patient. You need not solve every problem or every conflict today. There tends to be the nature that you want to have it solved today. Especially, I see this prevalent in men. Men want the answer today. I've got a to-do list. Here's the answer. Moving on. Sometimes be patient. Lay back. Answers tend to come and sprout when you give them. It's kind of like a seed in the ground. If you plant a question sometimes in your head, and then you go into the Bible and you seek to understand or you talk to others with wise counsel, it's kind of like a seed. And time can act as kind of water and sun. And answers tend to kind of come to those who wait and who are patient. Time has a way of letting truths, if I could use a kind of a silly metaphor, become known. You know, kind of the desert, we've all seen the movies with like the winds whipping across a desert, like in a Western. Time is this funny wind that has a way of kind of moving the sand back and forth. But over time, it kind of reveals something that was laid just underneath the surface, right? The quote unquote, usually like a movie, a treasure or something like that. Time acts as that wind. Use time to your advantage. Understand you don't have to be right today. You don't have to have the exact answer that looks great in front of everybody today. You don't need the answer. You need understanding and you need truth. Patience and time has a distinct advantage at oftentimes. Patience and time truly is a distinct advantage. It drains emotion from the mind and it returns emotion into the heart where it belongs. Answers that are quick, answers that are instant tend to have emotion. Emotion tends to move from south to north. It comes from your heart or your soul, so to speak, into your brain in immediacy, right? It kind of floods the brain. Emotions are good. There's a spice of life that comes from emotions and those feelings that you have, both of good and bad, and to walk through the journey of this life. But what it does, if you give it a little bit of time, it allows the migration of emotion to head back to where it belongs. It allows it to move south, back into your heart where it belongs, not clouding your mind all the time. Think about the times in your life you've made an extremely wise decision when you're emotional. I can't count one in my life where in a quick emotion-filled moment, I made a wise choice that had long-term benefits for myself, my family, or anyone associated with me. Let time work for you. Oftentimes, it is best to stop and ask yourself one question when you find yourself at a frantic pace for an answer. Do I want to be right or do I want others to think I'm smart? I think you'd be amazed by how many people want to be viewed as smart or intelligent. I see it all the time. Our world has definitely changed. The mind, we call it a knowledge economy now or whatever that's supposed to mean. But we have diminished the wisdom of time. We have diminished the value of what I will call vigorous labor and laying oneself into a day to make something happen and actually see what we've done. And we've rewarded only what we will call like the intelligent or the mind or the educated. Remember, do you want to be right, truly right in the spirit of the Lord and have that understanding? Or do you want others to think you're smart? Run the wheat against that chaff, so to speak. Which one are you after? We all fall guilty of it. It's human nature. I just bring that up. Human nature loves to be quippy. We love to be suave. Think about the quippy, suave individual, the quick thinker, the guy with at the cocktail party, the dinner party. Everyone tends to be like, hey, that guy, you know, that one's caught my attention. He always has the right answer. He's always right on point, right on the nose. They tend to be the star of the evening. If you watch those people, if you're around those people tend to be the star of the evening and tend to be the failures of life. Don't become enamored by those that are the star of the evening. A little too smooth, a little too quick with their words, always willing to make sure the light's on them, that they're smart, right? Like, hey, I don't know where he went to school, but that's an up-and-comer. You follow those people through. Stars of the evening are usually failures at the end of life. You see it again and again. Go to James 1, if you would. James 1, verse 19. James 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. It's not my words in the Bible. Be slow to speak. Wait. It's very funny. The fewer words you use, if you give yourself the time, the fewer words you use in life, usually the more they mean, right? Because usually a man or a woman of few words is actually tends to be a well-thought person, and they weigh each word with pounds that other people just have these small little ounces that go with their words. They're more worried about hearing themselves talk than actually what is coming out of it. Remember that. Think about, do I really need to speak at this moment? Do I need to have an opinion on this? Everyone right now tends to think they need to have an opinion. Maybe you don't need an opinion. And really, if you do have your opinions, maybe not everyone needs to know what your opinion is at this moment. Go to Proverbs 17, if you would. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is a calm spirit. Do you have a calm spirit? Is your spirit calm? And do you spare your words? Or do your opinions get out in front of your mind? That's a question to ask yourself. The mediums are out there, right? And our modern culture allows us numerous avenues to run our mouths. Maybe it's changed a little because running your mouth is usually more of a person-to-person context. But modern culture has allowed us many avenues, way more than we should have, to run our mouths. Think about it. Cell phones, social media, call-in radio, all of these things, really, what they're trying to do is engage you to have an opinion, either to regurgitate the one they're trying to give you, or bluntly, to monetize you and your opinion for people that don't care who you are, could care less what you think, but you really do a great job of creating a catalyst. They're like, no, I have a voice, especially in America. I love it. We're an independent, liberty-filled people. We have this saying like, I have the freedom of speech. That having the freedom of speech, remember that in this country, doesn't mean you have to use it all the time. If I could tell people what, just having the freedom to do something doesn't mean you always have to use it. It's nice to have in your pocket. Just remember, not everybody needs your opinion or needs to know exactly where your mind is. And in the moment, just be careful. Time tends to make fools of those who open their mouths, and their words are of many, and they don't spare them. Please go to Psalms 4, Psalms 4, verse 4. Psalms 4, verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Sometimes, if you could put that in today's modern vernacular, think in your head about what you're thinking about what you think you know. Know your own heart. Know where your feelings are. And be in your bed. Be still. If you notice that, and be still. When you're still, you're kind of playing, you know, with children, you're kind of playing the quiet game, aren't you? When you're still, your mouth's not moving. Your hands aren't pointing everywhere. Think. Be quiet. Meditate. It's a lost capability in a world where I have to get the next text out or I need to call them on that. Just stop. Think through what you're actually talking about or what you're thinking about. Now, if it has such weigh that in your mind, weigh that over a couple of days. And if you really need to go talk to that individual, make sure in the scales of your mind and in the scales of your heart, after you have meditated on it, you've been doing your reading within the Bible and understanding, if it still tips the scales towards the fact that you need to reach out to that person and talk to them, whether to clear the air or whether to give them with unsolicited advice, make sure you give yourself a little time. Make sure you think through that. Meditate. Be still. Don't react. Don't react right in the moment. One last verse, if you would, go to Ecclesiastes 10. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 14. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 14. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what it is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. A fool also multiplies words. Sometimes, for a lack of a better way to put it, don't have an opinion on what just happened. Just shut up. Just be quiet. The world doesn't need your opinion. Oftentimes, it is too soon to tell. When someone gets under your skin, why they actually did it, what the actual intent was, why they made that comment, it's really oftentimes too soon to tell, but our human nature runs right at it. And we want to answer it immediately, right? And have an opinion that we put right back on them. It's not the way it has to be. So be of good cheer, have your opinions, but keep them to yourself, weigh them. Use the currency of time. I've said this before in sermons. The only thing in this life that we all get equally, so to speak, when we wake up every day is time. It's the only currency that is equal across every person every single day. Nobody has more than me. Nobody has less than me. Use time as your currency. It's a very powerful currency. Use it. Let time work for you. As a wise person, and when asked, hey, what do you think about that? What do you think about this issue? I was watching Tucker Carlson last night. I know this is the truth now. On a website, and I think actually there is a new truth and an understanding around, hey, the new 144,000 in the Bible, I think I know what that is. Always tell that person or yourself when you start to think that, hey, it just might be too soon to tell. Or in a worst case scenario, when you're asked, how is your older father doing? Does he even remember if he has a sermon or a split sermon this weekend? Answer back, too soon to tell.